Hello, everybody. Hi, my name is Swayze, and I'm an addict. You know, I first got to say this, you know, like when I came up this usher path right here and I seen this room and it was like a few people in here, my heart fell to the floor. And it wasn't the fact that my heart fell to the floor because of the room. It was the fact that I had to stand up here. See, I don't have no problem with being raw and telling you where I came from, because I didn't come from nothing nice, nothing good. I was never taught how to love, trust. I was always taught that whatever you want, you better go get it and find a way to go get it. So my path was already set. Okay? Growing up was very hard for me. You know, my mother was the type of person that basically she showed me, hey, you're a girl. Hey, men, do what you need to do. I'm not showing you no love. I don't have no hugs to give you. I don't have no advice to tell you. Figure that shit out. And that's what I did. At the end of my road, y'all, I find myself, let me put this one out there. I've been saying three times, and I'm a female. See, I was that one that would smoke your shit up and put you out. Or take it one. But at the end of my road, I find myself going up into a store and stealing some Cocoa Puff cereal and a half a gallon of milk. The bold bitch that I am, I sat at the table and ate it. Okay? I sat there and ate it. I was in one of them shoppers that basically they had the buffet breakfast. So after I finished eating my Cocoa Puffs and drinking up my milk, I still was hungry. So I jumped my happy ass over there to the buffet and went ahead and ate some more. Granted, I was about to be sick. And if anybody ever been dope sick, you know how the hell that shit feels. I got dope sick one time, and after that one time, I said I would never get dope sick like that again. At the end of my road, y'all, I found this pretty thing standing here in front of you. In the store, still a Pepsi and a piece of Capri's, just to get that last one. I found myself in a jail cell as a petty thief on my record. Not a thief, but I'm considered a petty thief. Okay. Cause see, at the end of my road, when I was out there using, you couldn't tell me I wasn't no bad bitch. Okay? I was the one that went up in the Salvation Army and changed my clothes and came back out. But I was that bad bitch. Okay? I was that one also at the bottom of my road. They were close to shades to the crack in the dope house because they didn't want me in there. Because see, if you didn't give me what I asked you for, I would tear your whole house up. See, the way I was brought up, y'all, I was always around violence, disrespect, or no respect. I never was taught nothing, so I didn't even know how to be a lady. First of all, I didn't know how to do none of that. When I was introduced to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, I was in jail looking at 5 years for stealing Pepsis and Capris. And it wasn't just because of that. When I was out there, they called me to get you, gotcha, girl, and you put the pieces together to that. Because like I said, I was the type of woman at that time, if you didn't give me what I want, I took what I want. Because see, I grew up thinking because nobody loved me, and because the way I was treated and how everybody just kept taking and taking from me, I grew up thinking that the world owes me something. So I took everything I wanted. And I didn't care about any consequences that came after it. But at the end, I found myself in a jail cell. And y'all talking about somebody that thought who was the baddest bitch. And I had to pull my pants down and piss in front of another girl. And I had to have somebody tell me when to go to bed, when to get up. And I ain't going to tell you about the food that they tried to serve me. Okay? But that ain't the end, y'all. The end is when I got out of jail. I went back and did the same goddamn thing. The ending of it all, y'all, is I found out I was pregnant again. And I wound up having this baby that I didn't want. And I had the dope man come to the hospital after 30 days of pushing the baby out. I'm in the bathroom getting hot. See, I'm talking about the insanity and the desperation of don't know how to get out of something, so I just kept on doing it because I didn't know nothing else. I always hear people talk about when the pain get great enough, you'll find a way, you do what you need to do, get out of it. But how about when you like sitting in pain because that's all you know? Because see, that's all I knew was to sit in pain. I'm talking about being in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous for 2 years clean and still grimy and nasty and with the same messed up ass behaviors. Even doing step work. I'm talking about you talking about stop using drugs. That was the easiest part for me. But I forgot about the part about changing my behavior. I forgot about the part about changing about the way I think. Because see, when you say change your behavior and change the way you think, then you're leaving me too wide open. And I don't like to be wide open. I don't want you to look at me and see I'm hurting. Because see, I can dress myself up real good, and I can smile real pretty, and I'd be hurting so bad in the inside. But at that time, I didn't know how to express that. I didn't know how to tell nobody I was hurting. I didn't know how to tell nobody I was angry. Who was going to listen? Because the same time that I'm trying to get something from you, you're trying to get something from me. So my motto was, how can a trick trick a trade? Because we both getting tricked. My process when I came in here, October the 27th, 2007. I came in, y'all, with an 8th baby. Now, granted, let me share this part. I had all my kids based on my own selfish needs because I didn't know how to fucking love them to say that I loved them. So it was really all about me. Because see, when you're conning everybody and everything, you need a kid to con the government. So I didn't have none of my kids based on any relationship, any love, any none of that. I wasn't the chick that wanted the husband, the fence and all that kind of stuff at that time. But when I came in here, y'all, I came in here pregnant again with my 8th child. And I didn't want him. I didn't want him. I went to a meeting while I was in jail. And the lady said, I'm going to love you until you can love yourself. I come out of that jailhouse in a meeting and go to the infirmary and the lady said, you pregnant. I said, I thought that motherfucker just told me she gonna love me until I can love myself. How am I love another baby I don't want? How am I gonna come out of my selfish ass self to give something to somebody else? Because see, this kid wants something from me. It wants my time. It wants my attention. It wants my love. Everything I just named, I didn't know how to do for real. I knew how to stick a bottle in his mouth. I wound up having that child and becoming very close with that child out of all of my kids. And that was very hard for me to do. Because it took me a long time to remove myself out of the center of everything. Because see, the world revolved around me. Nobody but me. Being a person who's scared to succeed and scared to fail at the same time, what does it mean? It means that I didn't do nothing. I sat in a rut for 27 years. Caused a lot of chaos and a lot of harm to a lot of people, but mainly myself. One particular day I said, I think I had about 4 years clean. And this particular day, I said, I'm done. I'm done and I'm tired. And I said, God, I really surrender it all to you. Because see, y'all, I sat in these rooms for about 3.5 years, almost 4 years, and I still had clean time, but I wasn't clean. Mentally, spiritually, emotionally, I wasn't none of that. I sat in here and I compared myself completely out, then I compared myself in. Where I got clean at, y'all, was in St. Mary's County. And where I got clean at, y'all, these girls down here had more straw coming out their mouth, cowboy boots on, and they shot deers. How was they going to relate to me? How was they going to relate to me? I was trying to really figure out where the hell y'all got high and where. I couldn't figure that part out. So for that time that I was down there for them 4 years, I compared myself so completely out, looking at the outside of people. And stopped looking, not looking at the inside of them. That a lot of the things that I could have got from some of the women that were down there, I didn't even get. And I sat in those rooms, and I was suffering. Then I come up to the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., where all the men were in the meeting. And instead of sitting in the back of the St. Mary County meetings, I find myself coming to the meetings 10 minutes late with a skirt on and sitting in the front of the meeting. But remember, did you hear what I said? I said coming in 10 minutes late. When somebody comes through the door a few minutes late in a meeting, what do you all do? You look, don't you? So I got my center attention. After I decided to move, no, let me rephrase that, because I didn't decide anything. In my mind, I was going to die out there in the streets because of the stuff that I did. You could not tell me today that somebody seen something in me to help me save my life. When they say I'm going to love you until you can love yourself, believe me, y'all, that's true. Because you're talking and looking at somebody who didn't give a shit. I didn't care nothing about me. I didn't think I deserved anything. I didn't think I was worth anything. My first sponsor, because my self-esteem was so low, used to have me take sticky notes. And I would write nice gestures about myself on these sticky notes. And I had put them in the bathroom on the mirror. Because see, when I used to look in the mirror at myself, I was bitch, hoe, slut, no good for nothing. But these sticky notes that I would see on this mirror helped me realize that I am more than what I was calling myself. These sticky notes helped me learn how to love myself, and with the help of the women in recovery. I ain't leaving y'all men out, but see, men are my problem. I've been scared of women for the simple fact I thought I was too better than them to even have them as a friend, especially if you didn't look nothing like me, talk nothing like me, act nothing like me, you couldn't fit with me. So you had to be one of them gangster badass bitches to fuck with me. And if you was not that, You could, I couldn't deal with you. So you know I had no friends, right? Because I ain't say nobody was better than me. Living without the use of drugs. Hey, y'all, it's hard. It's hard. I just went through a real traumatic experience. And the only person on this earth that did not look at me in any shape or form or fashion in a negative way, the only thing that I knew as a mother, died January the 9th of this year. And y'all, when they say you drop to your knees, that was the first time I actually, physically, not staying here and say, okay, God, I surrender to you and I take it back. I mean, actually and physically dropped to my knees. That void, that hole that I thought that I had been repairing was okay. But that hole opened up wider than it has ever opened up before. And you're talking about somebody that was hurt. Cause see, I went through the whole stage of grieving. You know, they say that first stage of grieving is denial. Okay. I played it all out to a T. Cause when they called me at work and said she died, I said, y'all lying. I drove to her house. I kept calling her phone. And I did this, y'all, for about 3 weeks, even after we had a memorial service. I was still doing it. Then I got angry. Because y'all went out the picture. Y'all didn't go out the picture because I wanted to go use. Y'all just went out the picture because at that moment and at that time, I forgot that I was not alone. Because see, at that moment, I was alone. And I got angry. I got so angry that I got lost in my own emotions. Because then it all became right back to square one. It was all about me once again. It wasn't the fact that, hey, she was 89 years old and she lived a beautiful life. That she got to see not just grandchildren, but great, great grandchildren. It became about, why did y'all have to go? Why did you have to take her from me? And now here I go again, battling with God. When I got out of standing in the middle of this again, I found out that I was not alone. The point that I'm trying to make to you is this. When I stand in the center of my own universe that goes upstairs by her goddamn self, I create a whole lot of chaos in my life. I don't just create that chaos for me. I create it for everybody who's standing real close to me and probably some that's not even nowhere near me. See, Narcotics Anonymous has taught me not just about changing my behavior, but Swayze, you got to change the way you think. Okay? Because see, if you think and you act and you expect superficial things, you're going to get a superficial result. So I got tired of feeling that superficial feeling. And I made a conscious decision to say, hey, I am not in charge. When I was in charge, guess where it left me at? In abandoned buildings, being used and abused, in an institution, and in a jail. So I'm not in charge. I got with some winners up in here, and I got with some ones that were struggling too, because I will always remember where I came from. Because a nice hairdo and a nice pair of jeans and a gorgeous pair of shoes is not going to make me. I don't just want to look good on the outside. I want to look good in the inside. I don't want you to walk past me and say, damn, she look good. And the whole time I'm looking at you, say, if you only knew how the fuck I really feel. I don't want to be walking in here with my face looking on the ground when somebody's trying to talk to me. I want to be that one that's standing there looking you face to face, eye to eye. You ask me, hey, can you take this picture? My hand's not shaking because I'm so nervous, because I'm not comfortable in my skin. See, today I'm comfortable in my skin. It don't matter to me if you like me. It don't matter to me if you want me around. But always remember, you got something that I want, and I know I got something you want, and that's to stay clean just for today. And that's all that matters to me. You know, I lived in a life of chaos. I lived in a life of dungeon. Today I want to be happy. Not that superficial happiness that you can get from a pair of gorgeous shoes. But that spiritual within me happy. Not that happy that I'm hugging you and telling you that I love you because that's what I was told to do. No. Today I look at you and I hug you and I tell you that I love you. That's because that's how I feel for real. See, my recovery is so important to me, y'all. Y'all just don't get it. Coming from where I came from. Been through what I've been through. I don't have another one. It took me 27 years to get here, and I'd be goddamn if I throw it away over some petty ass bullshit. So if you come to me and you want something good, you better come correct, because I'm going to tell you how it really is. I ain't going to sugarcoat shit because I don't want you to sugarcoat it to me. Swayze, slow your ass down. You're moving too fast. Tell me that. Swayze, you're being a little too flirtatious. Tell me that. Because I ain't perfect. None of us are perfect, because if we was perfect, we wouldn't be sitting in here right now today. And all of us got a fancy story to tell. And all of us have been through some things. But let's show a newcomer how the hell we got over those things. I hear a lot of people talking about what the newcomer, what we're going to do with the newcomer. Show the newcomer. I can stand here and talk some good literature shit to you and then leave out this door and be the total opposite of what I'm saying. See, today I'm trying to walk in what I say, not talk what I say. I am very grateful for this program. This program has brought so much joy, not just to me, y'all, but to my family and my children as well. I can't leave my children now because, see, six of my kids watched me go through it. And it wasn't pretty. And so I have to acknowledge the fact that they are still here and they have been willing to forgive me. And I went through that whole process too, y'all. So whoever is in here, be careful what you ask for. Because see, I came in here, it was not even a year clean, and I want the kids back, and God said, you know what? I got your ass. He got me them kids back, and I didn't know what the hell to do with them when I got them. Be careful what you ask for. In this program, I have been able to develop some beautiful relationships. I have been able to do some things that I never thought that I would be able to do. I am sitting in a job as a brain injury specialist. And I left out of school in the seventh grade. So you can't tell me that you can't come in here and achieve some shit, because I got a high school diploma at 40 years old. I'm now working on the rest of my bachelor's degree, and I'm sitting real nice and pretty. And I ain't saying, and I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that to say, when I came in here, y'all, I could barely read. Let alone together. I didn't know how to talk.
Yeah, what's up, baby? Uh-huh, how you doing? What you trying to do, sweetie?
I got you, you got me? That's as far as my vocabulary went. So can't nobody tell me that if you don't do the work in here, that you can't accomplish a lot of your dreams. Your dreams are right there in the middle of your head. It's all about what you're trying to do to get them. You know that part where they say willingness? That willingness. If you ain't willing to do nothing, then you ain't going to get nothing. See, I came in here willing. With BBs in my head and everything. Looked a hot mess. But I was willing to do some work. And you're going to go through some things in here. Because see, if you don't go through some things in here, how the hell you going to grow? You grow from the things that you go through. But if you duck and dive, you ain't going to grow in here. You're going to be sitting right here in the meeting, looking at everybody else, trying to figure out how come they got that, and how come they got that, and how come they feeling good, and how come I ain't. I guess that's my 5 minutes, too. Huh, they ain't putting me out? Nah, I was to put her out, or I wasn't to get the putting out. I like to thank the subcommittee for asking me to come and share my experience, my strength, and hope. Thank God we got a place for some sick person like me to come and share that. And I'll keep coming back. Thank you.